right now, Satan is called the prince of this world, the god of this world, and that makes a lot of sense, that Satan is in charge right now. We see that. It's obvious every day. Just look at the news.
Pastor Brett Metter looks forward to God's will on earth as it is in heaven.
But there's coming a time where Christ is going to rule and reign. And the way that the psalmist puts it, God's ways will be known upon the earth. That is, not only known about it, but known how we are supposed to keep his ways, to live his ways.
Tucked away within the few short verses of Psalm 67 are powerful statements about what God has planned for the earth in the future. On today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter looks into the prophecies surrounding the end times and coming millennial kingdom. We'll learn how the world will be radically transformed and are reminded to live our lives that God may be known and glorified.
One of the things I love about Psalm 67 is it's a major headline of what's going to happen in the future. The Bible gives us kind of the story. The millennial kingdom is going to be the ultimate answer. Man, that's where the Lord's going to come and fix all the wrongs, and things are going to be blessed. And the nations of the world, see, that's where we start to see what Psalm 67 is about. It's about the millennial kingdom as it relates to the nations of the world. So let's read the psalm, then we'll break it down. We'll see a couple applications. It says in verse 1, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah. That thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Psalm 67 is a description of blessing and praise for the millennial kingdom among all the nations. The description of what we just read is only going to happen when Christ comes and returns and rules and reigns on this earth, where all the nations will worship. The earth will be restored and be blessed and shall yield her increase. These are the things. Let's break this down. There's actually four main things that I think are kind of interesting that describe this time. Number one, that God's ways will be known on the earth. Right now, God's ways, the world could care less. They care about their own way, getting their own thing, doing it their own way. But in the millennial kingdom, it says in verse 2 right here, that thy way may be known upon the earth. And how's that going to happen? Well, let me read to you Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 is a description of the millennial kingdom. And by the way, those Christians that say we're living in the millennium right now, that'd be really depressing if that were true. And I'll tell you why, because if this is the millennial kingdom, it's really not that great. You tell me if we're living in the millennial kingdom, because here's what the description is by Daniel the prophet. He says in Daniel 9, 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. This is a prophecy of 70 weeks. I won't go into detail, but it says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgressions, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Have we anointed the most holy as a world? The King of Kings, Jesus? Has he been anointed King of Kings by the whole world yet? Not yet. Has there been an end of sin? No, you probably sinned on your way to church as you were arguing with the family. It's funny how we still have sin, don't we? We're still sinners. We still have transgression. But the Bible says the millennial kingdom will make an end of that. Man, that sounds good to me. And to make reconciliation for all iniquity and to seal up the vision and the prophecy of this book. In other words, there's coming an end of prophecy. And that's going to be when we see all of this come to pass. If we're living in the millennial kingdom, I think God didn't quite finish the sin thing. And we're in trouble. I don't believe that's the case. I believe that's yet to come, the millennial kingdom. So when Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right now, God rules in heaven. But right now, I believe Satan is called the prince of this world, the god of this world, and that makes a lot of sense. That seems more right to me that Satan is in charge right now. We see that. It's obvious every day. Just look at the news. But there's coming a time where Christ is going to rule and reign. And the way that the psalmist puts it, God's ways will be known upon the earth. That is, not only known about it, but known how we are supposed to keep his ways, to live his ways. That's the first part of the millennial kingdom that's going to change things radically. When he rules and reigns, his ways will be known on the earth. Number two, God's saving health among all the nations. Right now, the nations don't know what to do, and they're very sick. We're sick toward one another, but we're also just sick. I mean, just look around the world and see all these nations in total turmoil. We have nations that are freaking out, not knowing what to do. And the world is in great turmoil, but in the kingdom, God will heal the nations and be the answer to all those things. Listen to Isaiah 11. It says in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4, this is a description of the millennial kingdom from the prophet Isaiah. Listen to this. This is a pretty radical, and this might be one of the best descriptions of the millennium. Isaiah 11, verse 4 says, "With righteousness shall he, the Lord, judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and he will, with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid," or the, you know, baby goat. "And the calf and the young lion and the fatling will lay together, and a little child shall lead them." A little child leading a lion? "And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox." Oh no, vegetarianism. Verse 8, "And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den." A little child will be able to play with a snake and won't be bit during the millennial kingdom. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all the holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." You know, the fallen condition of humanity, because of sin, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, what shifted? Sin. And the world, you know, fell into this fallen state. Now there's deadly snakes and poisonous creatures out there and lions that will eat you up. But somehow during the millennial kingdom, all the animals, everybody's going to get along. During the millennial kingdom, these animals will not eat people. They're actually be friendly, and it's going to be a whole different deal. But the healing of the nations, that's the idea when he says the Lord will rule the nations. And that's the thing, the saving health among all the nations. And right there in verse 2 of our text, saving health of all the nations. That's part of the millennial kingdom. And not only that, look at verse 4. God will judge and govern. It says, "Well, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth." Selah. The word Selah, of course, means stop and consider, ponder that truth. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when God governs righteously? That's something the world hasn't really seen for a long, long time. Somebody who's ruling with honesty and integrity and righteousness, that's going to be the Lord. He's going to do that. He's the only one who can do that. I almost find it comical that on the United Nations building, there's a stone outside of that building with the scripture inscribed on it. Let me read to you the scripture that the United Nations have inscribed on the stone. It says, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Well, Brett, that's wonderful. Does that mean the United Nations is a biblical Christian community? No. What that means is that the United Nations thinks they're going to be the ones to make that happen. But what's comical as a Bible teacher is that they left out a whole section of that scripture. They, right in the midstream of that sentence, they should have put, quote, dot, 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 and then what they were going to do, but that's not what they did. They just kind of made it like, this is it. We're going to make it so nations will beat their weapons into, you know, garden equipment. And there'll be no more war among the nations because of us, the United Nations. Now, here's the problem. This is the part they cut off of that verse. The first part says, "And he," this is God, "shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people And then they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn of war anymore. Only that's going to happen in the kingdom. When Isaiah says this in Isaiah chapter 2, it's when Christ returns that's going to happen. The United Nations is a wacko group that doesn't know anything. But especially because they think they're the ones that are going to bring in the everlasting righteousness, and nations will get along all because of the United Nations. No, that's not what's going to happen. I believe the United Nations is probably more postured to bring in the tribulation period, if you ask me. But that's a whole other discussion. But it's the Lord alone who's going to bring peace. I mean, that's an important thing to know. So God will judge and govern, verse 4 of our text tells us that in the millennial kingdom. And then number 4, God will bless us. During the millennial kingdom, God will bless us. Verse 6, then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. Verse 7, God shall bless us. Man, millennial kingdom, if you make it to that point, will be a time of great blessing. And you say, okay, Brett, that's great. See, we have here kind of two perspectives. We have the prophetic implication where we look ahead and see, wow, that's the millennial kingdom. That's what's being talked about. But there's also a second perspective I'd like to kind of finish off with here, and that is more of a personal application of this truth. And that's more of a looking within. The first thing we looked at was the prophetic implication, looking ahead. What about the personal application, looking within? Well, this is an interesting thing because picture a Jew writing this, Psalm 67, you know, several thousand years ago, talking about the millennial kingdom. But there's a thing that happens here I want you to see. It's almost like the very first verse stands alone, and then there's this connection between the first verse and the rest of the psalm. And the word that's connecting is that, there in verse 2, that. What does it say? God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And then stop and think. And then it says that. In other words, Lord, be good to us, merciful, blessing, face shining upon us. And what does that mean, by the way, face shining upon us? It's like when you see a mother who has a little child that she deeply loves, and the little child does something cute, and the mother's face just lights up in joy and love for her own child. That's kind of the face shining upon us. That's God showing favor to his people that he loves and blessing his people and showing mercy to his people. But then it says that. Now, what the word that means, it's like the hinge that opens the door. The word that is the hinge that opens the door for the reason why he's blessed our socks off, for the reasons why his face shines upon us. We can say we're a blessed people. He gives us, why are we blessed? Have you ever thought about that for a second? Why are you blessed?
Well, Brad, because I'm an American. I alone was born in America.
The rest of the world, tough bananas. See, if you think about it, it's kind of an amazing thing. You and I were blessed to be born in this country. You could have been born in Ouagadougou. I've been there, middle of Africa, near the Sahara Desert. And man, there's really kind of like a lot of sand and desert and very hot, not a lot of natural resources. And you're lucky if you survive out there. A lot of people were born there. Well, Brett, we Americans have pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps. Nope, we've been blessed by the grace of God. You have to ask the question, why? Why have you blessed us as a people? Did we deserve it? Did we earn it? Did we somehow get more favor? Well, even before you were born, you were blessed. A lot of you, a lot of us. For what purpose, I think, were you and I blessed? And that's the question we have to ask. And you know, if you get it wrong, you're going to just keep saying, I'm blessed, so I'm going to just keep trying to be blessed, and I'm going to go for more and more blessing just for the sake of being blessed. I fear for some of our younger people today that say, we're going to just live our dreams, we're going to pursue our dreams. The reason I'm concerned is because a lot of us baby boomers and Gen Xers and all those that have gone before, the millennials right now, a lot of us found our dreams and we didn't like what we found. Our greatest dreams, well, they're quite depressing once you get there. They're way overrated. Oh, I just want to find my dreams. Big deal, your dreams are a waste of time. Brett, that sounds pretty pessimistic. Well, it's true, I'm just giving you a heads up. What is really a good use of your time? Well, to think about, you are a blessed person, and so am I. Why has God done that, and for what purpose? We learn something from the Jews here. Because the Jews as a nation, they were blessed. And they've been blessed for so many reasons. Now I know some of you are thinking, well, the Holocaust wasn't that big of a blessing. Remember the guy, the fiddler on the roof, was like, man, Lord, why don't you choose somebody else for a while? You know, because the Jews being God's chosen people, They've been greatly persecuted, but why were they persecuted? Because they've been blessed. The Jews have contributed more to society and the world and science and arts and all kinds of disciplines, music. It's an amazing thing how blessed the Jews have been. But here's the problem. They used their blessing wrongly. See, here's the thing. This is a Jewish thing here in verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known on the earth and thy saving health among the nations, and ultimately the Lord coming and bringing in his kingdom. What's that? There's a lesson to be learned here from the Jews that the reason they were blessed is so that they could prepare the way and point the way to the one who's going to come and rule and reign over all the nations. They weren't blessed just for the sake of blessing. They were blessed that they might point the rest of the world as a beacon of light to God and to his ultimate authority. Here's where the Jews made a mistake. And you know, if you think I'm being bad on the Jews, you have to wait. We're going to talk about us Gentiles in a minute. But the Jews, how did they do that? Well, what do you mean this light of the Gentiles? Well, listen to Isaiah 49, verse 6. This is Isaiah talking about this. He said, is it a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, that's Israel, to restore the preserved of Israel? He says, I will give thee also for a light unto the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation to the ends of the earth. What was God's objective with the Jewish people? He said, I want my people, the Jews, to be a light unto the Gentiles, that salvation may reach the very ends of the world. That was his plan. And the Jews, they were that for a while in the Old Testament. But pretty soon they became a group of people that, like so many of us, rebelled against the Lord, worshiped false idols and gods, and were not only not a light. By the time the first century rolled around, when Jesus came on the scene, the Jews, they hated the Gentiles. There were Jews that if they brushed up against a Gentile in the city street, they would run home, take the clothes that touched the Gentile and burn them, and then take a bath and get ready because they touched a filthy Gentile. In fact, the Jews had a saying that Gentiles were designed by God for one purpose, to fuel the fires of hell. That's where it was in the first century. So not only were they not a light to the Gentiles, they were actually a stumbling block to the Gentiles, and that's why the Jews were scattered, just like the Lord said he would scatter them, the diaspora, and really the Jews had to go through real hard stuff. Now, don't get me wrong, and don't be anti-Semitic, that the Jews are still God's chosen people, and the Jews are still loved by God, and God has a big plan for them, and they're going to be back into that position of restoration during the tribulation period, but that's a whole other thing. What about you and me? Well, when the Jews were scattered, and then, you know, they said Gentiles are fodder for hell, the Lord then died on the cross, and the church age began. And you and I, not that we replaced Israel, but Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now I want you to be the lights in the world. I wonder if we could sort of parallel what happened to the Jews, where in our text here of Psalm 67, the idea is, you've been blessed, Jews, that the world may know God and know his plan and his purpose. But the Jews dropped that ball. You and I have been blessed as Gentiles in the church age. We've been saved from our sins. We've been blessed. But why were we blessed? I think the same reason applies. You and I were saved and forgiven of our sins. We've been blessed out of our minds, that the world may know Christ, that the world might be honored, and that we'd use all the blessing that we've been blessed with to point back to Jesus Christ. You and I weren't blessed just to be comfortable and say, look at our house, look at our cars, look at how comfy we are, and look at all the great stuff we have, and I guess we're just blessed because we're amazing. We pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps. No, we've been blessed that, let's not drop the ball on this one, that the world might know Christ. I see the same problem here in Psalm 67, where the Jews sort of dropped this challenge. I see us doing the same thing if we're not careful. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Jews and Gentiles. The Gentile church, Ephesians chapter 2 says the Lord has created one new man out of Jews and Gentiles, and that's called the church. Anyone who would believe in Jesus Christ, and ultimately the Jews will be saved, as I told you earlier, Romans 11:25, all of Israel. But the church and the Jews will stand before God someday and will account to him what we did with what we were blessed with. I hope that you are one who can say, man, I know what my calling is. And I'm going to use my blessing of this life not to hide the light under a bushel, but to be a light into this world and use my blessing for the right reason. Use whatever resources we have. You know, I wonder if you're a wealthy person and you've got a nice little bank account and stuff, I wonder if we use that to say, how can I make myself more secure? How can I make myself more comfortable? Or if we say, how can we further the kingdom and lead people to Christ? You know, Athey Creek, we've got all these young people who have energy but no money. We also have all these old people who have no energy and lots of money. What would happen if we sort of melded some of that together? You know, I love what we get to do in sending. We got a bunch of young people traveling around the world and doing great work of missionary work, and we got some good ministries going. But what if you said, man, instead of just making myself more comfortable, what could I do to further the good news of the gospel? Not just money, but time, energy, effort, whatever resources we have, instead of just sitting around saying, well, I guess I'm blessed. But to say, wow, I'm blessed that. It's that hinge of verse 2, that thy way may be known upon the earth. See, that's the thing. A lot of times as end time stuff, when we talk about Bible prophecy, one of the accusations from the amillennialist or the preterist who thinks everything's figurative, they say, you guys are just into the Lord's rapture and you're just waiting around doing nothing until that all happens. You're just waiting for the kingdom. Well, we are waiting for the kingdom. But it's funny, I think that's a false accusation. The people that believe the rapture of the church could happen tomorrow, the people that I know, they're busier than ever about saying, man, we need to share the good news of the gospel. Because when that comes down, there's going to be a lot of people lost. I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be all about the people that have been found, people that have been saved, come to a knowledge of the cross of Jesus Christ and accepted the work of salvation. That's why I'm busy about preaching the gospel, and I hope you can be too. Using the blessings God's given you to further and prepare his kingdom that's coming. That's why you're blessed. Question is, are you using it?
Pastor Brett Metter closing with the challenge presented to us of Psalm 67 to apply the blessings of God in our lives to further his kingdom. And you're listening to Today's Word. In just a moment, Pastor Brett will be back to join me. But first, a little information about our teacher, Brett Metter. He's a senior pastor of Athey Creek Church in the Portland, Oregon area. He's been pastoring at Athey for almost 30 years. We hope you can listen each day for more of Pastor Brett's verse-by-verse study. If you're in the Portland, Oregon area and don't have a church home of your own, we'd like to invite you to Athey Creek Church. Our main campus is in West Lynn, Oregon, but we also have other campuses in the Portland area, including Hillsboro, which launches this weekend, Sunday, June 1st, and McMinnville, which will launch the following weekend, Sunday, June 8th. Just go to todaywordradio.com and click the link Locations for more information. Again, todaywordradio.com. Well, I have Pastor Brett with me now. Brett, I think it's very likely that we're talking to someone listening who might be curious about this Jesus we've been hearing about. Maybe they aren't sure what being a Christian is all about, but they're wondering how they can know Jesus. Pastor Brett, would you share how that works?
You bet. Boy, that's a great question, and I love answering it. You know, it's really the work of Jesus Christ that makes it so that we can have a relationship with God, and it's that work of salvation that Jesus did on the cross when he died on the cross for the sins of the world. And the Bible makes it so simple for us. I love it. It says in Romans 10:9 that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. Salvation comes by just confession with the mouth and belief in the heart. So if that's you, you can just pray that prayer. It's a simple prayer. Lord, forgive me for my sins. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, that you rose from the grave, and that I'm forgiven and I'm saved. And then just pray that prayer. Help me to walk with you, Lord, and thank you for saving me. And then you can just say amen and know that God has heard that prayer and honored that simple request.
Well, thank you, Pastor Brett. And friend, if you just prayed that prayer, we'd love to help you with some next steps in following Jesus. We have a page on our website that'll provide encouragement and support as you begin your relationship with Christ. Just go to our website at todayswordradio.com and click on the link New Believer. That's todayswordradio.com and click the link New Believer. Well, that's all the time we have. I hope you can join us again as Pastor Brett begins a message about the dangers of being out of control and some good answers to help. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in Westland, Oregon.